Welcome to Live and Love Your Brand, a podcast to support you in sharing your message and mission with the world. I'm your host, Emma Lovell. I'm lovely by name, lovely by nature. I'm a personal branding specialist with a mission to support female entrepreneurs to live and love their brand. I've been running my business, Lovely Communications, for more than 12 years, and I can hand on heart say that my success has come from the strength of my personal brand. I believe in the power of owning and sharing our story. I want to help you own your story, shop consistently, and really put yourself out there. So here on the podcast, you'll find helpful tips, practical exercises, and joyful discussions that will inspire you to reconnect with your brand and communicate it more effectively. I'll be joined by incredible experts to discuss how personal branding can have a huge impact on your business and on your life. I'd love to hear from you, so please make sure to connect over on social media. You can find me on Instagram, at lovelycomms, that's L-O-V-E-L-L-Y, double the L means double the life, Facebook, Lovely Communications, and you can join in the conversation in our lovely community, the Live and Love Your Brand Facebook group. Of course, make sure to come back weekly as each new episode drops. I can't wait to share with you how to gain clarity, build confidence, and increase connections, all by sharing your unique personal brand with the world. Lovely Communications is based on the Gold Coast and recognises Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples as the first peoples of this place, now known as Australia. We are grateful for the continuing care of the lands, waterways and skies where we work, live, listen, learn and play. From here on Yugambeh country and from wherever you are listening, we respect the elders past, present and emerging. I'm so excited to introduce today's guest, Nikki Ellis from Cinch Training. I was dying to have her on the podcast, but then even more so after I heard her on the Secrets of Successful Business podcast with Justine McLean. I loved that episode so much. I loved hearing her story so much that I actually hired her to be my virtual personal trainer, which she now is, and she's helping me get incredible results and focus on my health. Nikki is a transformation specialist. She used to be an academic, and she's turned entrepreneur, but she's passionate about helping women feel strong, confident, and badass by falling in love with weight training, which I am starting to do. She says she's the world's laziest PT, wanting to do the least work for the most results, and she doesn't gatekeep her secrets. And I can tell you that is absolutely true. I've loved the support, I've loved the passion, and I'm also in a group, the Small Business Growth Club, Instagram Growth Club, with Nikki, and seeing her how she shows up on social with her fierce energy and her fabulousness, it's just too good. Listen to her story and you can't help but smile when you see this incredibly infectious, energetic woman on your screens and in your ears. Have a listen to Nikki Ellis. Welcome to the podcast, Nikki Ellis.
Oh, Emma, it is so lovely to be here with you today. I'm excited.
Me too. We've had some connections over the years, but like we'll get to that in a second. Tell me, in your words, who are you?
Who am I? Well, I am essentially, I'm a personal trainer. That's generally how I think of myself, even though I run a business and of course I'm a mum and a wife. Get that bit. But I guess given this is a business podcast, essentially I am a PT. I help people go from where they currently are to where they want to be, whether that's getting stronger and more confident, or often it is about changing their body composition or changing their, you know, relationship with food and all of that stuff revolving around a transformation of body and mindset. That is my gig. That is what I do. And I love it.
You do. And you're incredibly passionate. And anybody who sees your social media profiles will see how engaged and passionate you are. So, but we met, you know, we'll vicariously sort of met through business club quite a few years ago. And then we came back into each other's world when we're in Jade Warne's Instagram Growth Club, yes, where you are a star student.
Oh, I don't know about that. Emma, I feel like you are somebody who I've sort of admired from afar for a very long time. And I've often thought to myself, I'd really like to know that lady better because you are such a bright, vibrant character. You're just gorgeous. And I feel like my vibe is very high vibe as well. So I've always watched what you do. And you know how we like people like ourselves, you know, oh, isn't yes. she gorgeous? She's just like you.
Yes. She's the mirror.
Exactly. So I've always thought I would like to know that girl better. So I'm excited that here we are. That's it.
And I loved that. Oh, yes. So I did a remix of one of Jade's reels and then it inspired me. We haven't done for a while. We'll have to get this back onto it. We'll add it to our very long lists of to-dos. But, you know, we did a remix and I challenged because I knew of anyone. I did it to challenge one particular person, but I tagged another couple of people in the group because I knew that they'd do it. And you did it within probably about an hour and remixed one of my reels, which was so fun and brought your own flavor to it. Neither of us are afraid to do the dancing on the reels.
Anything for a laugh, honestly.
I love it. And as you said, you're high vibe and that's beautiful. But where I really, what triggered me to, and it's been floating around for me as well, knowing you do the podcast and loving to be able to talk on the podcast, but I listened to you on Justine McLean's podcast, who we also met through Jade. Justine came and did a photo shoot with us. I've been obsessed with her ever since, started working with her. And then you two had this most wonderful conversation. And it was such an excellent example of how somebody could communicate what they do, show who they are, and clearly put an offer forward to the point where, Nikki, I got off listening to that podcast and I called you.
Oh, that's so nice.
And now I'm signed up to you. I'm working now. Nikki,
you're my star student, one of my star students. That's really lovely. And I think, you know, for many of us in business, this has been a long road for me to get to the point that I can actually talk about what I do and do a CTA, you know, and actually say to people, you know, actually you can work with me. Like it is possible rather than just leave it kind of floating in midair. And I see this with some of, you know, my subbies that might work for me. And I'm constantly DMing them saying, that's a great reel. Where's your call to action? Like this is great. Where do you have on that post where people can contact you? You know, your content is incredible, but you've got to actually allow people to connect with you and then take the next step because they want to do it. So make it easy.
Yes, I was waiting. I was like, when is she going to say the thing of like, I'm like, that's awesome. You have a great studio. And I'm like, I can see how brilliant you are. And I was just like, but surely she has a way that she can work with people virtually. Surely she has. And then later in the podcast, you said it. And I was like, get me the phone. Like,
sign me up.
You know, sign me up because it's something that I had been, you know, you're speaking to all of my pain points. And what really, the same reason I work with Justine is it's because, you know, I help people with their businesses. I help them with, I give them support. I talk about not doing this alone. And yet I'm trying to do something that is not my skill set and is not my strength alone.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to go to Pilates and figure out how many times I should go a week. I'm trying to walk and try and figure out how many times I should go a week. I'm watching different Instagram accounts for meals and things like that, but trying to make that plan work for me when food, nutrition and fitness, although, yeah, nutrition, not a fan, fitness, a fan, I don't know. So why wouldn't I get help?
Well, that's it. And that's why my business is called Cinch, because there is so much confusion out there, Emma, whether it's training or nutrition. But you know, my main focus is the training. And then we have a nutritionist who works in-house for us. So I'm like you, I'm passionate about the training. And you know, there's just it's complicated. And even within that level of complication, there's also new information coming out all the time. So, you know, my job is to keep on top of that, ensure that we are doing exactly what needs to be done to get people in great shape, strong, functional, et cetera, as efficiently as possible. You know, nobody wants to waste 5 years mucking around in a gym only to find that they could have been twice as strong in twice as good shape. You know, we want to maximize our time.
Well, and it's, you know, like we I'm so passionate about people being the experts. And it's like someone, as you said, doing that work for you. That is their space. That is their zone of genius. Like, why are we all trying to become experts on everything? Yeah. Like, you shouldn't be expected to. And I don't know. I'm quite frankly not interested. I don't have the bandwidth nor the time.
Yeah, that's it. Stick in your zone of genius and outsource everything else. Who knows how?
Yes, and it just was so lovely, your approach. It was also you are, you know, fab and fierce, but you're also, I just felt very nurtured. There was something as well that I must say, like, really triggered me. I told you, and I want to say it to the audience as well, was like I saw in one of your reels you talked about having been fabulous and, you know, in your 50s, and that some of these women, you know, maybe even yourself, feel like you've got your best body at 50. And I was like, what that's then made me think was, oh, great. When I'm 50, I'll have my best body. It's like, oh, it's okay. It's okay. Don't worry what you're doing now, because in 15 years, I'm going to have a great body.
It'll magically happen.
I was like, and I caught myself and was like, seriously, like, is that the thought process? I was like, no, I don't want to wait 15 years.
Oh, that is so funny, Emma. I love that though. It's a classic.
Yeah. And it's just like, it was like, oh, it's okay. And it was that whole like sort of thing. It's like, it's okay for them. It's okay for them over there. And I see it with my clients. Oh, she can do it, but I can't. Or, oh, she does it. Or, oh, when I'm out of that stage of life, I'll do it. And it's all this like comparing sort of thing where it's like, well, why don't I just take responsibility for my own life? And, you know, but also not understanding that I have a lack of skill set or a lack of time or whatever it is. So why don't I get the accountability and the support of someone who has that?
Well, why not? Why not? And, you know, I think especially with my service, which is what you are doing in remote training, it is ridiculously affordable as well. It's $30 a week. So it's like, for heaven's sake, why would you not do it? For the sake of a very little amount of money, you get me on the end of your phone anytime, and you get the app, and you know, you get your programmation for you, and you get me as your new BFF. It's a no-brainer, isn't it?
But it, you know, I got to hear your story, so we'll go back. You know, it's taken you, like you said, a little while to have my lovely internet playing up as you do a podcast.
It is just a little bit. Yes, okay.
So she's getting, poor Nikki's getting half my questions and comments. But, you know, yes, you shared your story, so I was fortunate to hear that. But you said it's taken you time and a journey to get here. So could you give us an abridged version of kind of how you got to being a PT?
I think I wanted to be a PT even when I was a tiny little kid. There was no such thing as PTs when I was a child in primary school, but I knew I wanted to do something with bodies right from when I was tiny. And I'm the baby of the family. So when I was at primary school, my brother was actually studying physiotherapy, and I very engaged with what he was doing, even though in my heart I knew I didn't want to be a physio because I don't want to be hands-on with people, but I knew I didn't want to be sitting in an office, and I knew I wanted to be helping people move. So this love of movement started really early on, and my mother had a chronic illness, and she actually died when I was 15, and my dad was a very good athlete. So I had these two polar extremes of health as well, and not that I feel that you can necessarily control your own health. You can do everything right and still get cancer, you know. So I'm not sort of saying you make any choices. But for me, I really saw that my dad had this incredible life. He was traveling the world, competing and doing all these things. Like, that is really what I want. I want to be sporty and I want to be fit. So that was the start of it. And then I had a very rough trot in my middle years. My mother passed away and my dad left home and blah, blah, blah. So it took me a while to go back to uni. I went back to uni in my mid-20s, did exercise science. And then from then on, I really focused on PT. I remember on my very first day of my exercise science degree, one of the lecturers saying, hey, does anybody here know what they actually want to do? And I put my arm straight up and went, yeah, I want to be a personal trainer. That's all I want to do. So, and here we are. So I started my first personal training business actually in my second year of uni. I was asked by one of the managers at Melbourne City Baths where I worked, if I wanted to be a PT, it was sort of me and three very muscly young men. You know, we were all asked, you know, do you want to be a PT? And I said, absolutely, I would love to. Wasn't really sure what it was all about because I'd never seen a PT. All I'd heard about was in America, they're doing this thing where people train other people. It's like, okay, going to give it a go. And I just flourished. And the other PTs, only one of them kept going. The other two dropped out. Mm. And then I could see what was happening was that within the gym, there was that little bit of competition. You know, I was training my guys with, you know, my T-shirt on and he was over there in a different company T-shirt. And I thought, this is not going to be good for the gym. So I went back to the manager and I said, look, I can run this whole thing for you and I can have all of us branded in nice uniforms and we will all be in this together rather than if you keep on employing new trainers, we're going to have a lot of competition. It's going to be, it's not going to feel nice in the gym.
Not a good vibe.
Mm. Not a good vibe. And she was like, yeah, if you want to run it, it's yours. So that's how my business really started. And my husband actually is he was a PT as well. And he also has a master's degree in nutrition. He works in the public service now, but for many years we worked together in the business and we grew it and grew it. So from that gym, we also were at the Grand Hyatt. We were at several big 5-star apartments around Melbourne. We were asked to run the Park Hyatt. Then it just got bigger and bigger to the point where we had many, many trainers and we were running, I think, across the board around 500 PTs a week.
Wow.
Personal training sessions a week. So then I had my babies and we actually got completely out of that business. And I was just at home. I was asked to be a lecturer at Vic Uni teaching resistance training. So I did that for 17 years, loved it. So I still had my finger in the world of exercise science, quite firmly in that world. But I still, Emma, I just love training people. Mm. There's something really nice with connecting people and really deeply connecting often and really helping to get them great results. I get thanked every single day of my life and people thank me with tears in their eyes and it's like, and tell me I'm changed. And it just fills my soul.
It's very personal. 100%.
It's so beautiful. So I wasn't PTing at this point. I had two children and I was at playgroup one day and one of the mums said to me, Nikki, I'm really struggling. She goes, her partner was dying of cancer and she said, I think I need to do some exercise. You don't fancy like going for a walk or something with me, do you? You know, once a week. And I'm like, we can do better than that, Sharon. Poor old Sharon. It was like, you know, you're struggling. Your husband's not well. I need to go back and teach, you know, 120 drop dead gorgeous exercise science students. And I'm feeling very out of shape. I've just had a baby. Let's get into shape. Let's hit some weights and I will train you if you don't mind being my guinea pig. And she's like, let's do it. So that's how it all started. We were back in my little garage here at home and I trained her every day and it was fantastic. And then I said to my husband, you know what? I think I can make a little business out of this. I still have the passion. How about if we pretty up the garage, turned into a studio and I'll just make a little bit of money on the side. And he's like, yeah, sure. Let's do it. It's nice to have a gym at home anyway. And the rest is history. So I ran a launch party and all the mums from the local school came and it was comical, Emma, because, you know, I had this party and I put around like a clipboard so people just to write down, you know, when they might like to train or if they do want to train. And the clipboard, it was just full of names and arrows of people saying, I'd like to train with this lady. And so 2, 3, and 4 people right before I even started. So it was just great. And then, yeah, so I did that for 4 years. I had one of my other neighbours also had an exercise science degree. So she came and worked with me as a trainer as well. So it was booming out there in my garage and then decided to open a proper studio. So opened a teeny tiny little one, 80 odd square metres down the road. Really outgrew that after 3 years. But in the meantime, I was manifesting my dream studio. And it's funny because even when I was in the garage, occasionally people would say to me, God, there's a building up the road. If ever it came free, it would be perfect for you. It was like an old shoe shop, but it'd been an IGA before that. So big studio, big shop, essentially on a main road. Like it's on a main road, but it's in a service road. So it's like perfect. And I thought, you know what? That is so the ideal studio for me. But it wasn't even for lease. It was still a shoe shop, had been for 30 years. So I really started manifesting hard. It's all I could think about. And when I look, I found an old journal a few weeks back. And in the old journal, I was writing about, you know, go up to Shoe Way and ask them if anybody knows how much the rent is. And I was going up there and looking at shoes, but actually looking at the studio and visualizing my squat racks in there. That it did come up for lease. And it's a bit of a long story because nothing ever goes exactly to plan.
Yes.
But I got it. I got my dream studio and that's where I am now. And I've been there for 5 years in October.
Congrats. Yeah. I love that. I love that you've had your eye on the prize for so long, but also that, you know, that sometimes there can be a dip as well and there can be a pause or there can be like not even a sidestep, you were still in the industry, but like you can have multiple ways to do what you're doing. I think that sometimes what people, they're like, if I'm not PTing, then I'm not, you know, if I'm not doing it in this way, then I'm not doing it.
Exactly.
And like all that stuff is gone. And it's like, no, I'm just applying it in a different way.
That's right. And it's the seasons of life and it's what life throws at you and it's taking opportunities that arise. And, you know, it was a lot of different things. And, you know, and for me with that situation with the new studio, what I had to do in the end was pay double rent for, I think, 6 months. And so as a business owner, if you've ever paid double rent but only had, you know, one shop being open, it was such a strain. It was actually one of the hardest things I've been through. In a way, it was harder than the lockdowns because even though that was hard, at least in the lockdowns, you were getting quite a lot of government support. I had extra money coming in. But paying double rent, it was really challenging. So I really had to stay focused on, okay, stay calm, you know, in a year's time when this business is up and running, it's going to be fantastic. So you just have to ride out the dips in your business with the hope that it's going to pay off long term. And that's the essence of a lot of small business because you will get crappy months and drops in income and, you know, that's
pandemics.
Hopefully,
in this century. In this century. But yes, it's I love that. And I just, as well, that you just started the business as well. Like, you know, we've run a business before. And I had a pet sitting business for three or four years. I know, fun fact. And then I just didn't want to do it anymore. And so I was going to sell it. And you're like, but it's such a great business. And you're like, but it doesn't.
No,
where I'm at anymore. And I think it's really nice knowing that that's done. And I said, it's not my first business and it won't be my last. And I love that you kind of had that. Maybe you didn't have that at the time, but that you were so easily able to go, I want to start another business. And you started it in such an organic, simple way that sometimes people going into business, I think they go, it needs to look like a business. I'm putting in inverted air quotes. Like it needs to, I need to have all the things. I started the pet sitting the same way. It's like just register the name, open a website, open a bank account, and I'm open for business. Who wants me?
I think that lots of fabulous businesses start at the dining room table with notes on the back of an envelope, or they start in your garage. There's nothing wrong with starting small. You don't have to have all the bells and whistles. And in fact, you know, by doing that and really committing to a rental property or whatever, it puts so much pressure on yourself. So I think if you have a business idea that you can potentially start quite small, I literally was being paid cash and that was going into a jam jar. Like that's how it was. Thank God I did not have that sort of business model when we went through the pandemic, because it would have all just ended in a horrible, horrible, disastrous mess. But starting off, it was really nice and simple. And
you have taken something that is like was seen as very physical and very, you know, a personal trainer. If it's personal, it's got to be one-on-one. And it's funny you say personal trainer so much because one of my clients, Leslie, she calls me her personal trainer for your brand.
Yeah, so like, I love it.
And I'm like, I need to.
Trainers for anything, really. I mean, funnily enough, I do have my remote clients, but I almost do no one-on-one PT face-to-face anymore. I've just taken on one client who is going to be with me for 2 or 3 weeks, and then I'm going to pass her on to group training. But I almost do none. All of our training at the studio is group training. Some of the other trainers do one-on-one, but we mainly do group training. So strictly speaking, I'm a group trainer. I'm not even really a personal trainer anymore, but.
Yeah, but the virtual is so good, and that you have, like, I think as well, there's sometimes people are like this or that, as opposed to you can have this and that. And, you know, calling back to some of the things that you've said earlier, it's, you know, what I see you so much visibly online, it's something that people in the fitness industry have had to really adapt to because, you know, and we do see a lot of it online now or promoting online, but like you said, they might be showing all the things and doing all the things, but if you're not saying, and this is how you work with me,
yeah,
it's like you can show me all your muscle building all you want or all your fabulous strength. If you don't tell me how do I get them and how do I work with you,
absolutely,
it's such an important thing. And so how have you found that? I think you're quite fabulous and comfortable in this light, but how have you found that, like, showing up as you and promoting as you?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think, first of all, Jade has really helped a lot with that in terms of ensuring that you do, you know, do a call to action and you show up in sort of a particular way. And I think, I guess, like, for many of us, and I don't know if you're like this, Emma, but I do kind of have an alter ego. So Nikki is a quieter person, much more introverted person than Cinchy, who is the personal trainer. And I know that probably sounds weird, but it's actually separating my more professional self from my private self, because when I'm in private, if I'm out with my girlfriends, I'm not going to give them a hard time if they have an extra glass of wine. You know, I would be obnoxious. I would have no friends. But Cinchy, the trainer, I am much more aware and conscious of, you know, the advice I give in terms of eating and training and yada, yada. But well, my private self is a lot softer. So when I'm turning up on social media, I have to put on kind of a little bit of my actor's hat a little and go, you know what, I'm just going to own this and just engage with people and be as natural as I can, as silly as I can, because I know that when I do that, I'll get a new remote client out of it. And it's still me. It's just the more outgoing version.
An amplified version of you.
Yeah, it's an amplified version of myself. And it's actually, I think, sometimes it's good for us to get out of our comfort zones, because I'm naturally a really shy person. Hopping on and doing those things for reals, it's quite gratifying. So it's like, I know people often say to me, oh, you do it so easily and like they're having fun. I still have a lump in my throat when I'm hitting post. I still think, God, I'm going to look like an absolute nitwit. People are going to think I'm silly. It's like, well, does it really matter? You know, it's going to be, I can always take it off, or if it's a story, it'll be gone in 12 hours or 24 hours. Like, it doesn't matter. It's just fun. And it's actually one of the good things about doing so many of them. If you have quite a lot of things going out on social media, if you have the odd miscall, it's okay. People forgive you.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's that, you know, and it's that habit of doing it. And we talked a little bit before we came on of, you know, I'm having a little bit of the perfectionism. There's ones that I want to make that I have to be so great, because I want them to be good, and I want to honor that service or honor that partner that I've worked with and show that. And then it's like, it's now been 3 days since I put it up. And it's like, well, that's not helping anyone, is it, if they're not seeing it? And so, and as we both know, it's like sometimes the ones that you really work on and you craft and you know, you get all the things right and you edit it to the millisecond, and then crickets. And then the one that you're like literally lying on a pillow, half asleep, you get an idea, you know, or you think, oh, this is a bit of a dickhead in this one. I sent an email like that last week. I'm like, oh, no, is this, it's a bit personal stories. Yeah. Too much? I don't know. We'll see. And I get an email back going, someone might book my retreat. Like, you know, I've potentially missed out on the sale. if yeah. I had have held back from doing that. And so sometimes you do have to kind of just close your eyes and push the button.
You do. And I think for me, the exceptions to that would be, say, I'm lip syncing and it's a bit off, you know, and people will watch it and be annoyed by that. Or if there's a typo or, you know, sloppy things, people sort of go, no, it's yes. rushed. But I think when you do something and it's natural and hopefully charming, then, yeah, ship it. Get it off. Get it off. Yeah. And I think what you're talking about, Emma, too, is, you know, the ones where you're lying in bed and talking, or you send out an email that's maybe a little bit more personal than you normally would. It's all about vulnerability and showing the real you. And that's human. That's what we're looking for, right?
We're human.
We're human.
24/7.
No, and we're looking, you know, vulnerability is strength. So yeah. It's just, yeah.
And I love as well, you know, what you were saying before though as well about having, you know, it's definitely not two-faced or anything like that. It's like people will go, oh, this is the me over here and this is the me over there. It's just like I look at like a dial, like, you know, you dial up the volume, you dial down the volume, or like when you're cooking, you sometimes cook on level 2 or you cook on level 12. Yeah. Like we too have levels. Like I don't walk into every room, you know, like my MCing voice and, and my sparkle pants, like, you know, sometimes I wear my other leggings, yes. you know, like, you know, but generally, you know, you're not going, I think people, you can have, they go, oh no, but I have to be like this all the time. And it's like, no, but if we're multifaceted, we're a human, there's so many parts to us. It's okay to show, yes, the amplified side, and it's okay to keep some things that are private and personal for you. You don't have to tell them, you know, I chose to share a bit more personal story. You don't have to. If you don't want to show your husband and kids, you don't have to. If you choose to, you can. Like that's, we are the authors of the story. But if you are too frightened to show anything, then yeah, maybe like taking on a little bit of an alter ego. I mean, Beyonce did it.
Just do it. She doesn't do it anymore. And I talked about this on one of my podcasts. She had Sasha Fierce. And funnily enough, Adele did it as well. And her name was Sasha. Oh, it's like Sasha Wilson or someone. But she actually stole the idea of the Sasha from Beyonce. So, and look, it can work really, really well. So that's some advice for you if you are listening and thinking, God, I'm an interior designer or whatever, and I know people actually do want to see me and I need to stand up and talk about, you know, cupboards and whatever, curtains, but I just can't do it. Put on an alter ego, you know, create one for yourself. It's not faking it. It is just bringing out a different version of yourself. And like you say, dialing it up. I love that analogy of dialing it up. Yeah. And I think that's really, really great.
Yeah. And I think we'd want to apply it to like sometimes, you know, you've been helping me with that fitness thing. So like sometimes, yeah, I can dial it up and I can go and hit the weights and things like that. And the other days I can't do that so much. So that's the day when I go for a stroll, you know, or that's the day where I need the rest. I have to dial it down. Like I think we can use that dial in multiple areas of our lives. But I could talk to you forever. I think we're gonna have to do about 18 different podcasts, but I just it's been so nice to witness your journey. And you know, I felt very seen when I heard your podcast. I just think there's such a, it really proved to me again the power of podcast and the power of storytelling. Yeah. And you know, that how, yes, Nikki and I have not met in person, but I really felt connected. And I just thought it was such a brilliant example of that customer journey. And then to just hear that you make that offer. And I was like, yep, I'm in.
Thank you, Emma. It's interesting that podcast resonated so strongly with you, because it's almost, you weren't even in the demographic that potentially would have loved that podcast. So for the listeners who have not listened to that particular podcast,
I'll put it in the show notes in case they're like, this sounds really great and I'm missing
Justine
out.
Justine and I are similar age. We're both as 56. And so we were talking primarily about menopause and moving into your midlife transition. And so we were talking all about that and how to get through and some great tips and tricks. And, you know, it's a really, really interesting area. So for anyone listening who might be menopausal, this is a great time to be going through menopause because it is such a hot topic. and all these amazing women, researchers and scientists and doctors and PTs, we're all invested in getting through it ourselves and helping you. So it was a really great podcast, but I'm so glad it resonated with you as well, Emma. That's just fantastic.
And that speaks to as well. I think sometimes we get really fixated and, you know, we're both, again, we're in this pro where you learn about making a, you know, making marketing materials for your audience, and you talk about your ideal audience or your target market, and mm-hmm. people get really concerned and fixated about niching. And it's like, you know what, you can have your, it's called an ideal client. It's called your target audience. And when we think about a target, there's three circles. So yeah, we're aiming for the bullseye, but I was actually in the outer circle for you.
Yes.
So yeah. You still got on the board, but you were speaking to your ideal client who was the bullseye, but mm-hmm. I still met, or I could still see myself in that. And so, you know, you can have your ideal client, talk to your ideal client, but if somebody comes along and they still have the same pains or want that same pleasure, like you're still within the realm, you know, then you can, you know. And I really didn't want to do target market niching ideal client for a long time, despite the fact that marketing is my zone, but I felt like I was going to miss out. But instead, it just meant that people saw themselves more clearly and heard the message louder. And it's, I can't, it's such a beautiful example. I was just like, I'm in, hook, line and sinker.
And I'm so glad you are. It's great. And we've only, for listeners, I've only just started training, Emma. It's only been like a week.
I can't wait to be one of your before and after success stories. And I already feel like a success story. I love the support that you give. I love the genuine passion that you have. I love the joy and the excitement. I always get a giggle on my feed. So, Nikki, tell us, because I've got going on about this, how can we find you on socials? How can people get the giggles that I get?
I'm very, very active on Instagram. So the best place to find me. I hang out there a lot. So my tag is at Cinch Training, C-I-N-C-H Training. And, follow my stories. Our stories, I shouldn't just say mine. You know, like all of our trainers tend to post stories and things often share them. So that's the best way to find me. And then if you would like to train with me like Emma does, please just either send me a DM or you can also check out my website, which is cinch.training. And sign up and I'll be in touch and we'll get you started.
I love it. And when you, it was another, just a great point. I follow this lady who does I must send you her things. Her food looks hideous, but she's all about like fat loss. The food, I'm like, how are you going to off that? But anyway, it's working for her. But at every single video, she's like, and if you want more of this, give me a follow.
Yeah.
She does every time. And I'm scrolling through like 20 videos and it's every time. And I'm like, you know what? Bravo, because it's bloody working.
Exactly. That's right. How many followers does she have? Gazillion. Well,
yeah, quite like at least probably like I think it's like in the 20,000-30,000s or something.
Wow. So,
yeah, it's working. And so, yeah, I think that was such a pivotal point that you said today, Nikki. Don't forget the CTA. Mm-hmm. And also, if you want to see this beautiful work in action, please follow Nikki Cinch Training because she's leading by example.
Thank you. I'm trying. And, you know, I actually try and give out a lot of information on my stories. So I talk about, you know, time under tension and how to progressively overload and all of this stuff that, you know, I sometimes find that it's not talked about enough. Like we talk about how to actually perform exercises often in the fitness industry. But people really want to know how to train to get into great shape. What are the key things that people aren't doing well? And there's some really big ones. I mean, not having a program, not keeping track of what weights you're doing. You know, something like 90% of people training in public gyms don't do that. And it's really important that you do. So, yeah, follow me for, you know, some good little tips to help you get in great shape and get strong and feel good.
Good tips, lots of smiles, lots of laughter and yes, just wonderful.
Feel good vibes.
Feel good vibes. Yes, we love it. Thank you for your time today, Nikki.
My pleasure, Emma.
Thank you for joining me today for another episode of Live and Love Your Brand. I'm so grateful that you've shared your time by listening today. That means so much to me. And if you're loving what you're learning, I would be so appreciative if you leave a review, rate this podcast, and subscribe. It really shows me that you care, but it also helps other listeners to find us too. Again, please be sure to connect with me. I love hearing from you and getting to know your story. You can connect with me on Instagram at @lovelycomms, Facebook, Lovely Communications, and please do join the gorgeous community, Live and Love Your Brand, our Facebook group. Or if you're ready to take action now and want to improve how you show up in the world with your brand, then head on over to lovelycommunications.com. Again, lovely is LOVELLY, communications.com, to learn how you can work with me. My clients have gone on to experience opportunities that they could never have dreamed of. From starting businesses to taking leadership in their own life, they have found the confidence to stand in who they are and to go wholeheartedly after what they truly want in life. And I want that for you too. If you're ready to invest in yourself and reconnect with who you are, then let's chat. Thank you again for listening. Now go into the world and share the beauty that is the uniqueness of you. Catch you next week, lovely.